Isn't it great when there's news from 1760? Well, there's a new discovery of a Mozart manuscript. It's 264 years old and making the headlines. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle. And today, we're talking about a piece Mozart wrote when he was just 10 years old. This is a big year for discovery about our German-Austrian classical composers. Both Beethoven and Mozart are in the news. Beethoven's manuscripts and his health issues are bringing articles to us. A few weeks ago, I talked to Sean Newcomb about the slow movement of Beethoven's 15th quartet. There were some unusual markings in Beethoven's handwritten score. And another article came out about a year ago about the discovery that Beethoven suffered from liver disease and hepatitis. And this may have been the illness that Beethoven wrote about his recovery and thanked the Lord for sparing his life with that slow movement. Beethoven and Mozart's lives overlapped, Mozart being the older of the two composers. In fact, Mozart was just getting serious about his composition when Beethoven was a newborn. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was a boy genius. He traveled Europe with his dad and his sister in Annerl to play for the courts and the kings. He and his sister were both geniuses, but the world just wasn't ready for a woman genius. It was okay for Nan to be a child prodigy, but the family pushed Wolfgang to be the composer, even though we believe Nan was probably just as capable. So it was just a week ago, a new piece that is very old was performed for the first time at the Leipzig Opera, written by a very young Mozart. Of course, we don't know the exact date, but we can make certain conclusions based on the signature and the style and more. It's great that historians can piece all this together, even though the manuscript isn't in Mozart's hand and there's no date. The piece was found in the Leipzig Municipal Library by researchers, and it's a 12-minute trio for two violins and bass, or cello, because the bass instrument isn't an instrument we play today. You can see one of these at the Smithsonian, and even I can't tell it from a cello. Today, we use the double bass, and simply refer to it as the bass. I asked a professor at the University of West Virginia to clarify the bass situation in Mozart's time. Professor Andrew Cohn also plays in the Pittsburgh Opera and Ballet Orchestras. Here's what he told me.
The parts played on the double bass from the time of Mozart in Austria were at the time played on an instrument best known as a violone, a five-stringed instrument with the top four strings tuned to a D major triad and the bottom string tuned to an F sharp or an F. This is why the double bass parts of Beethoven, except for the last one or two, only go down as far as an F. When composers of the generation of Mozart wrote a piece called Bass, they were referring more to the function than to a specific instrument. It usually means cello. Sometimes it means violone. Sometimes it means both, played in octaves. If you want to tell if a part from that period is intended for cello or for bass, you have to consider the spacing between the bass line and the upper parts, and whether the line ever goes below an F, that is, out of the range of the violone.
Well, that's very helpful, because both of the performances I looked at on YouTube in Austria and Leipzig, it looks like a cello that's playing with the violins. There were two debuts of this piece. One was in Mozart's hometown, Salzburg, and that was on September 19th of this year. The second one was 2 days later in Leipzig, where the piece was found. So I decided we should hear something from the real world premiere, the one in Salzburg. This was at the International Mozart Diem Foundation in Salzburg. ¶¶ Like some other serenades, there are 7 parts. The first movement is a march. The second, an allegro. Third, minuet trio. The fourth, Polonaise. Fifth, Adagio. The sixth, another minuet trio. And the finale is an allegro. The performers are violinists Haruna Shinoyams and Nazar Klinar. The cellist is Philip Comploy. And the keyboardist, or the cembalo continuo, is Florian Blisak. The researchers in Leipzig were able to date the piece for 2 reasons. Even though it's a handwritten copy believed to be in his sister's hand, she wrote Wolfgang Mozart. When the young Wolfgang began writing, he didn't use his middle name. He simply signed his works Wolfgang Mozart. In fact, he started adding Amadeus to his signature a year before Beethoven was born. It's also believed that Mozart's father cataloged a lot of the early works like this one. Leopold Mozart survived his son, and both he and Wolfgang's sister tried to preserve the late composer's work. Well, this one was missed. This new, or rather newly discovered work, is cataloged as Kochel 648 and named by the research team Ganz kleine Nachtmusik. And another title it's been given is Serenata XC. So Ganz kleine Nachtmusik, we know it was missed in cataloging of Mozart's works, and it's just luck that it both survived and was authenticated so many years later. There's an article by Isaac Schultz in Gizmodo. It appeared on September 23rd, and it gives a few more details. So Ganz kleine Nachtmusik, it's a play on eine kleine Nachtmusik, a little night music. Ganz kleine is quite little night music, or very little night music. Funny. Eine kleine was written for two violins, viola, cello, and a double bass. And it's given the Kochel number 525. And we know it was written on August 10th, 1787, and published in the same year at Offenbach Publishing. It's perhaps one of the most recognizable pieces of classical music, alongside Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Or Bach's Toccata and Fugue. Let's add Brahms' Hungarian Dance No. 5. And can we find a fifth? Let's go with Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker. I feel confident we can say Eine Kleine is among the top 10 most recognizable classical pieces. And this is just me guessing. So I looked it up. Classical FM published a list of the 15 most famous tunes in classical music just last month. So I checked my guesses. Eine Kleine was number one after all. Bach's Toccata and Fugue came in at number four. Beethoven's Fifth came in fifth. Nutcracker wasn't on their list. It's a subjective list, but I agree with some of their choices, including Vivaldi's Four Seasons and Bizet's Carmen. You can check the show notes if you're curious about the list, and maybe you can guess a few more. Thanks to Andy Cohn for helping us out this week. Accelerando is now published every other week, and you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts and elsewhere. Please share this with someone you think will enjoy it. And thank you for your support of the musicians in your city. They give so much to our lives. Live music makes all of our lives better. And fall is the kickoff to the new season in the Cultural District. Andy and I will both be playing the Pittsburgh Opera's season opener, Tosca, by Puccini. If you've never seen it, I can't recommend it enough. It's actually my favorite opera for the music. For opera lovers, it's a favorite for the wonderful singing, the music, and the action. Hope to see you there. That's it for this week, and I'll see you next time. Bye now.